When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I mean, Matt Cain signed a deal for over $100 million. So did Buster. That's why we were talking earlier about, well, Buster's not doing this for the money. He must only be doing it. And again, if whoever said that to me earlier will remain nameless. Thank you for that thought, because I thought it was a really, really interesting one, which is you look at this situation analytically, okay? Not baseball analytics, your own analysis. Take a look at it. Why would Buster do this? I find this to be a very comforting thought. He's not doing it for money. He's certainly not doing it for attention. He's not doing it because his wife wants him out of the house and she'd like to raise the four kids by herself. He's not doing it for any of those reasons. There really only can be one that anybody can think of. And it's that he freaking loves Giants baseball, and watching them flounder hurts like hell. And one thing they kept saying at the presser today, when someone like Buster asks for the ball, you give it to him. It's kind of like when KD was yelling at Draymond, and Draymond just dribbled right by him.
And he was doing the clap, 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 clap. Yep.
Give me the ball. Well, Buster did that, and Greg Johnson was like, well, here.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen next, but like, yeah, at a minimum, you ignite. Not just, and this is why I don't really buy into the whole it's a PR stunt thing. Yes, it ignites the fan base, but I wonder if all of you can hear and feel how it has ignited the actual organization, the actual players, the former players, the current players, the marketing people, the concession stands. Like, my God, everybody's ignited.
And we've heard from various sources inside the building of a general discontent with the direction, and you'd mentioned this before about, you know, pictures about glory days and past accomplishments coming down off of walls and a general lightweight scrubbing of the successes and of the past. And that's always a tough one where you inherit something that's been very, very good, and you want to make your own way. But sometimes when you make your own way, you do it by trying to get rid of the past, and that's a little bit of an insecurity, in my opinion. And so now you bring in a guy from the past, a hero from the past, a guy who's won 3 rings and is one of the best drafted players of all time. So I'm sure inside the building is a great, not only relief, but also a celebration of what they all remember, the glory days, right? Shout out Bruce Springsteen.
Absolutely. Okay. That's important, what you just said. I hope everybody heard that.
Well, I hope you heard it.
I heard it. That's why I'm spotlighting it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There's no game on, so you're actually listening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's early in the week.
It is early. Got some WNBA playoffs coming on.
Did everybody hear what Dan Dibley just said? I actually think, and my bad for doing an entire baseball season without bringing up what I actually think is the most important thing, the most important flaw in what Farhan Zaidi was doing through all of it. I know what everybody's going to, oh, he couldn't land a big fish and he was cheap and he was a nerd and okay, fine, whatever. You know, Luciano can't play short. All fair things. The most important thing that you need to take away from the Farhan Zaidi era was his insecurity. You just said the word. And I think it is the epicenter of everything that happened around it. Farhan Zaidi, what do we know? He's literally removing pictures from the walls, like you just brought up. Pictures from the past, because he felt threatened by the 3 World Series championships that happened before his arrival. Is it because he wanted credit? I don't really feel it was that he wanted credit. I think it's a little bit more intricate than that. I think he wanted his way to be right. And he was very, very stubborn with that. Therefore, everything that was happening around him would sort of force a certain behavior. that wasn't often the right thing to do. If I could sit here with Farhan Zaidi today, I'd say this directly to his face. I wish you could have walked a little bit more confidently into what you were doing. And what I mean by that is work with the past and work with the future as opposed to being so stubborn about Tuesday. Tuesday, we're sending Matos down because we're facing a right-hander and we need Trenton Brooks. Like, dude, like, you know what I mean? Stop trying to prove that you're right with every single little move, because a lot of times you were and a lot of times you weren't, but that's just not the way to do it. And I think that he sort of stumbled into that at times, and that affected all of these decisions and the morale and everything around him and the way the former players talked about him and the way the veteran players felt about him, all of that stuff. I think it all comes from his insecurity. He had rabbit ears. I knew this. You know, if there's anybody on radio or TV in town that was like, man, I hope my message gets to Farhan, he heard you.
Yeah.
I promise you, he heard you. He knew everything that was written. He knew everything that was said. And then he went out and he tried to prove those people wrong. And I've learned this lesson in my life, too. That's just not the way to do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't help.
Unless you have unmitigated success, and that's the only way that you can go about making that approach work. Because if not, then the people who you alienate, the people who you ostracize on the inside, are going to be more likely to turn against you because you are ultimately the outsider. And when you start to scrub some of the memories and you start to disrespect some of the greatness that has taken place before you, and you come in with an approach of, this is the new way, it's my way, and it's going to work. And when it ceases to work and you start to have a real struggle and you don't have the same level of success, then you're not going to have as many people standing up next to you or standing up behind you saying, no, this is the guy, it's going to work, give him more time, put your faith in him. And that's just one way to go about it, and it's a way that's not going to probably work unless you are really, really successful.
Let's go to Marlon in Concord. Hi, Marlon. Thanks for calling. What's up? Marlon, you there?
Marlon, hey.
Oh, man, that was a buzzer beater. We're about to hang the freak up on you.
I was shopping at Safeway, man. Sorry.
We'll see you in the aisles.
Yeah,
exactly. What are you buying right now?
Oh, man, stuff for the kids, just bread, you know, milk, all that stuff.
Bread, milk.
I usually wouldn't buy for myself.
Cheese, eggs.
There you go.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I love bread.
Hey guys,
big fan.
Really? Yeah, I hear that in the commercial. But, hey, I'm calling in because I feel like, you know, people are really piling the dirt on Farhan, and I understand why. But, you know, I think, first off, he had the Dodgers cologne on him, so I don't think he and Gabe were ever really fully accepted. But what you just said before you answered the call, I think it does show a lack of confidence. You don't come in and take anything down because things were there before you arrived. But I also think that people like to kind of call the Giants fan base a bit of homers. They you know, you got a lot of fans starting in 2010. And I think that people just couldn't let go of Bochy. They could not let go of that, and that analytics are sort of the wave of the future. So it was funny you mentioned earlier your son doesn't quite have a favorite baseball player yet.
Yep.
And maybe because there hasn't been anybody good for a while. But I do think that the future is less of Bochy and a little bit more of what a Farhan could be. But Farhan wasn't that guy. And the last point I want to make is them not landing the big fish, that was the kind of the things that are really on, you know, top of mind. But I think that it was a blessing they didn't get Correa and waste a lot of money there. And I do think that the having Buster, you know, on the staff is really going to hopefully land those bigger players, especially now that Chapman decided to stay. I do think that if they would have had another 100-plus season, maybe fans felt different. But anyways, hopefully the Giants will be successful, and thanks for taking my call.
Marlon, thanks. That's a good call, and enjoy Safeway. I hope you go home with a lot of good stuff to eat for the kids.
No doubt. Make sure you get the app and clip those coupons for extra savings.
The digital deals, man, they just poof right there at checkout. It's amazing. But anyway, I will say this really quick. It's like anything else in life. Timing is everything. And I'm not saying that you would have liked Farhan if it had been a different scenario. But here's what I will say. This is just like anything else in life. Farhan followed a dynasty. Buster is following Farhan. So who's getting sort of a different landing spot? Like anytime you follow a legend, and whether this is fair or not, Farhan felt like he was following Bochy, even though they're in completely different roles. It felt like he fired Bochy. He didn't. I promise you, he didn't. Did Bochy want to go? Maybe a little bit.
No, it was forced out.
Maybe not. But was he forced out by Farhan? I'd argue no. They knew he was leaving the second they hired Farhan. So there were many voices in the room on that. And it was situational, and the Giants were in a bad spot. They weren't a good baseball team at that time. So he's going to be held to a standard that was very difficult. I'm fine with that. This is Giants baseball. You got to live up to that. And he didn't. But I keep stuff like that in mind. Like, what's your starting point?
Of course.
Well, your starting point was we're changing to a whole new direction. Even though this was a direction that was wildly successful and all of us loved it more than anything in all of life in terms of baseball. And now Buster Posey is Buster. He's literally the face of all that great stuff that happened before. And he's coming in to replace someone who was widely disliked. So Buster's leash is going to be incredibly long. Someone said to me today at the press conference, I'm pretty sure there's never going to be a hashtag firebuster. No matter what happens.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
Well,
no way any real Giants fan would even let their fingers type that.
Well, if they have three bad years, worse years, years that make look like a genius, if the Buster Posey moves do not do anything and this team has three more years of this, if not a little bit worse, I don't know if firebuster will be a hashtag, but there will be some movement, and I don't think that he's going to get 10 or 15 years no matter what.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's going to get respect no matter what.
Yes,
he's Buster Posey.
We've seen some other legends be forced out or have their legacy disparaged a little bit over the time when they went into the front office.
That's an interesting thought. Let's explore that a little bit more. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Phone line's wide open for you at 888-957-9570. If you want to talk out anything with Farhan gone, Buster on the way in, we'll play a little bit more of the sound for you also a little bit later this hour. Before we get out of here, there are massive trade rumors swirling in the NFL, and I know that we'd like to get to that at one point, but tell me more about what you just said. We've seen legends get to the point where they've kind of been forced out before. Who are you thinking of?
Well, John Elway is one. Okay. I think when he was with the Broncos and he won a couple of Super Bowls and then he went to the front office and it didn't work out quite as well. And so after a certain amount of time, it was clear that they needed to go in a different direction. And so out he went. And I don't know if he was fired, but you have situations where legends take jobs and it doesn't really work out. Magic Johnson with the Lakers is another one.
But I at no point am I saying that Buster Posey is just going to have this job for as long as he wants or for the rest of his life or anything like that. I'm simply saying that if it doesn't go well, the drumbeat for him to leave is going to sound way different than this one.
Oh, for sure.
And that was his only point. He goes, no matter how this goes, there will never be a firebuster hashtag. There won't be. He's Buster Posey. I'm not saying there should be.
Right. Well, whatever you want to qualify it as, hashtag or drumbeat, if he doesn't do well, if he struggles and they don't do well, and it's pretty clear that he's not cut out for the job, well, then they're going to have to make a decision. And as a part owner, he has a little bit more leash than somebody who isn't a part owner.
Of course. There's also this, 415 just texted this in on the Comcast business text line. And I think that this is an interesting comment because this comment was made to me at the press conference as well by somebody who is a, well, let's just say an interesting voice.
Mm-hmm.
415 writes, after a stint at Pobo, Buster will likely replace Melvin at Skipper.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now, I have no idea, and we asked even Kane that, because Matt Kane said, I see him as a manager someday. He goes, but this is sort of backwards. You usually don't go from president of baseball operations to the manager of the team. That's pretty odd. I'll just tell you that while I was sitting there watching Buster, somebody who is close to the organization leans forward and goes, you're looking at the next manager of the Giants.
Wow.
It's just an opinion. It's not somebody in the position to make that call at all. But, I don't know to what level they were kind of kidding or throwing out a prediction or whatever. But far be it from me to say that that's off the table.
Of course.
I'm already surprised enough that this happened this quickly.
I think that he is more suited to that job than he is to this job. If you want to just look at it in a vacuum, Buster Posey as a manager of a baseball team versus the president of baseball ops, his skills that he has right now are far, far more suited to being a manager than they are to being the president of baseball ops. Having been a catcher, having played at the highest level, three World Series, we know that catchers are really good managers. In general, I think a third of the managers in baseball right now are former catchers.
Is it really a third?
I'd have to do the math specifically, but...
By the way, baseball managers to me are just like the numbers of the players here in town. Like, I don't even know how many managers in baseball I could name, but go ahead.
Well, you've got Steven Vogt,
right,
who is a former catcher. You've got
Boach.
You know what I mean?
And you've got Bo Mel.
Right.
Right.
That's three right there. Steven Vogt.
That you can't name people twice. That doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay. AJ Hinch.
Okay.
He's a former catcher.
I didn't even, like, who's he manage? I do not know managers.
He, like, look up to the left. He's a manager of the
ABC News is
the
on.
Tigers, I think.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I won't be able to fact check
Does
you at
Scott
all.
Does Scott Service still have a job? Or no, he lost his job this year.
David Ross was.
But he's a catcher.
Ross was a catcher, right? Right? And he was managing the Cubs. Is he still managing the Cubs? Not managing the Cubs anymore, right? He went down?
No, Craig Counsell now is the Cubs
Craig
manager.
Counsell was an infielder.
Infielder.
He's an infielder.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
Feels like
so
this
far.
Conversation hit a wall.
Little bit of a wall. Bud Black, no. Was Mike Schilt a catcher?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm kind of with you on managers. It's like sometimes I have to look. It's like,
dude,
oh my God. Guy's a manager?
If you just said, like, how many managers could I name along with their team, I'd set the over-under at, like, 5.5. Honestly don't know. Dave Roberts is still managing the Dodgers. I know that. Bo Mel's managing the Giants. We got Kotze managing the, I'm not sure what we're supposed to call them, A's.
I know, right?
Should we call them... Remember, what did Washington, didn't they call themselves the Washington football team for a little while? Yeah. Should we just call them that? The Sacramento baseball team?
Well, that's what they're calling the Utah Hockey Club, if I'm not mistaken. The team that moved from Phoenix, the Phoenix Coyotes, are now the Utah Hockey Club.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Anyway, you get my point.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the managers.
And you get my point.
Yeah.
You mentioned something earlier about timing, and I do think that that's a big... It's a big thing in all of this as far as when you inherit a job. And I was thinking about the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr. And so I went back and tried to refresh my memory on Steve Kerr and what he inherited, because the year before he got the gig, they went 51-31 under man down, Mark Jackson.
Mama.
Went to the playoffs, lost in 7 to the Clippers.
Yep.
The roster, you had Harrison Barnes. In his second year, you had Steph Curry, who was at the time he was 25 years old.
He's a good player.
Averaged 24 a game that year.
I like the pick.
I do too. You had a 23-year-old Klay Thompson averaging 18.
Mm-hmm.
David Lee averaged 18, and you had just picked up a guy who would go on to be NBA Finals MVP a year later, Andre Iguodala. You had Barnes and Bogut and Draymond Green. And then you had such veterans as Jermaine O'Neal, and you had Jordan Crawford, a great player off the bench. Steve Kerr inherited quite a team. Now, a team that hadn't yet done it.
And, they were young.
And Steph Curry had bad ankles, and we didn't yet know how impactful Draymond Green would be. But it just made me think about timing. Buster Posey following Farhan Zaidi, much easier than following Brian Sabian.
Absolutely. This is it's a sight for sore eyes. It's a sound for sore ears. It's everything that everybody wants to hear and see right now. So, of course, there's going to be a huge runway for Buster.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.